your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Reiki Master and host Phyllis Lay Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today I have with me Kathy Araki, and I've known Kathy, I think, almost 30 years. We met because her father, who was a Reiki master initiated by Hawaii Otakata, who is my grandmother, and I were acquainted. And I moved to Santa Fe, New Mexico in the mid-'80s, and George was very interested in New Mexico at the time. And he also, Kathy was living in Albuquerque. So it was a natural for all of us to meet, and since then, Kathy and I have been doing our own thing with Reiki at one point, and yet at another, we're very closely connected. So every once in a while, we have a spurt of seeing each other for a few times a year, and then we go away and come back, and it's a wonderful cycle. And I'm very pleased to have Kathy on the show today. Kathy, welcome.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be here.
Well, I was just thinking when I don't know if it was when I first met you, but you were pregnant.
Uh-huh.
With, was it Ayumi?
Yes.
Yeah. And so then I was trying to figure out how old she was, and that was, like, shocking.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes, she's 22 years old now.
Yeah, amazing.
And I think you were one of her first visitors.
Oh, wow. Great. Wonderful. Well, Kathy, I'm fascinated because I think in all of the years that I've known you, we've never really talked about what it was like for you to have Reiki and when that was in your life and how that must have been for you as a child, or older child, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just hoping that you'll be in a storytelling mood and tell us a story about how you got into Reiki.
Okay. Well, I'd be happy to. And, you know, my father, George Araki, was a very interesting man. And
I'm laughing because
yeah.
It's true. In many ways.
Yes.
And I really, really miss him and love him.
And he was a teacher at San Francisco State University and had his degree in cellular biology. And so throughout my life, he has always been a teacher to me in one way or another, just sharing information and always willing to bring home different ideas and concepts about life and healing. And I remember in the 70s when I was about, in early 70s to mid 70s, he was starting to bring home conversations at the dinner table about healing and healers, and he would talk about acupuncturists, or he would also talk about lucid dreaming, and then he was very interested in autogenic training and biofeedback, and became a teacher to train others in that field as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then later he started to, he went to study psychic healers and be very interested in spontaneous healing. And so he traveled to Brazil and Nepal and where else did he go? Anyway, he did some traveling a little bit later. But
wow.
At one point in time in the 70s, he I don't know how he found Hawaii Takata, but he found Takata Sensei and was very interested in what she did as a healer. And so he wrote to her, and he was also interested because she's a Japanese-American person, just as we are. And so he was intrigued by this, and he wrote to her and inquired about what she offered, and became very interested in, I think it, there was a sense that he really wanted to, I mean, what she was offering was that people, anybody can be empowered with this type of healing medium and be able to do healings, and he was very interested in that. So she, Takata Sensei wrote back to him and explained what she did, and Dad wanted to actually go to Hawaii to be attuned to her with her, and after writing back to her again, and he didn't hear from her for quite a while, and then finally he got a message back, and she was no longer living in Hawaii. And so I think she was in Iowa at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had, in the meantime, she had moved to Iowa to be with my, closer to my parents, because she had had a heart episode, and they decided that it would be better for her to live closer to family.
Oh,
and there's this little book, and I'm not sure how Sally Hammond got a hold of my grandmother, but there's a book called We Are All Healers by Sally Hammond, and I'm sure it's long out of print. Uh-huh. But it's one of these little paperback books that made such a difference in so many people's lives. It's amazing. And I think your dad, as I remember, got a hold of this book and connected with my grandmother and was fascinated by her in the same way Sally Hammond was. And that is that though Sally Hammond interviewed a lot of healers like Olga Worrell and a number of other very famous laying on of hands healers, none of them could pass this gift on. And my grandmother claimed, as we will use that word, claimed to. So Sally Hammond was very taken with her and went to Hawaii and interviewed her and wrote quite a lengthy piece in her book about her. And then I think that that also intrigued your father, not just that she was a healer and very well recognized in the islands at that point, but that she could pass it on. So this is always, this for me is one of the magics of Reiki as we know it today. Yeah.
So,
so go ahead. So your dad finally heard from Hawaii Takata.
Yes. And she offered to come to California and to South San Francisco where we were living and to our family home. And to teach Reiki, and although it was a disappointment to my dad and the family that we couldn't go to Hawaii to do this, we thought, "Oh, this is very convenient." And so she did. She came and she stayed with us and taught Reiki classes, both in our house and also at over the years at San Francisco State University. And it was a very interesting time. I remember Takata Sensei as being about my height at the time, and just this cute little curly-haired lady, you know, with white hair. And I loved being in her presence, and she reminded me a lot of my grandmother, but and my dad's mom, but in a Takata was a sweeter lady than my own grandmother. I hate to say that, sorry, Grandma. But she was just more allowing and very sweet and friendly. I have have to tell you this, though. This one thing that I think of when I think of Takata-sensei staying at our home at that time is that we had a three-bedroom house, and each of them were occupied with, you know, my sister and I in one room, my brother in another, my parents in the last room. And so we didn't have a guest bedroom, but where we always put our company was downstairs in our living room. We had a dining room area that if you would turn the table a certain way, it would kind of block you off from the rest of the house. And then we would put down a futon mattress and, you know, kind of a cushioned area with comforters and all, and that's where we had Takata sleep, and this is where all of our guests slept. And when I think about it now, and just with her, I mean, just who she is and how she, what she's done for so many people worldwide, I get a little embarrassed, actually, that, you know, we had her sleeping on the floor, but she was just so comfortable in her surroundings that it just seemed very natural at the time. It's just kind of this afterthought that I think, oh, my God, we made her sleep there. But you know your grandmother better than anyone else, I would think, that she just seemed like she was able to adapt. And be at home wherever she was at. So, anyway, so I know that initially my parents were attuned to Reiki, and then I can't remember if it was the next visit or the following visit after that that my parents decided to have my brother, sister, and I attuned to Reiki. And I remember I was about 17 years old at the time, and my brother was 18 and my sister 19. So we're all in our good teenage years and, you know, doing our own thing. And I remember that particular weekend that my parents wanted us attuned, I was ready to go up to Clear Lake and have some fun with my friends, and here I had to stay at home with who?
Right. Right. Well, I totally understand this particular thought. Yeah. So, Kathy, it's really a good break time because we're heading on to our break.
Okay.
So just hold that thought, and we'll find out what happens to Kathy. Does she go to Clear Lake in just a minute? This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Are you tired of carrying a heavy wooden massage table around? Is your back sore? Or do you have imprints of cables and braces on your kneecaps after sitting and giving a Reiki treatment? Try a lightweight Astrolite massage table for maximum comfort. Contact us, Paul or Upasana, at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her two-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We're back with Kathy Araki, and our first segment was a lovely story of how her parents and her father, especially George Araki, came to Reiki. It's been a wonderful remembering of those times way back when. So now we're just at Kathy's part. So, Kathy, you wanted to go up with your friends to have some fun on the weekend, and your parents wanted you to take a Reiki class.
Right, right. And it was a little disturbing as a teenager, but I stayed at home and took this class from Hawaii Otakata, and I remember thinking, wow, what is going on here, and what is all of this, and having the attunements, and really, I mean, from day one, I felt a difference. I felt a difference in my hands. I was very amazed at what was going on, and it was a lot of fun. And my energy around it shifted. I enjoyed the class. We did the hand placements, and after that, it was just wow. Getting to hang out at home on occasion and give Reiki to my mom, or sometimes if Takata Sensei were there, she'd say, "Hey, let's go do Reiki," and we'd go upstairs and to my parents' bedroom where we had our large TV, and we'd watch TV and just give Reiki to each other. So it changed my life in many ways, I just remember especially just the connection into my hands very quickly, and I don't know what else to say about that. From there, I had graduated from high school, thereafter, and was interested in going to San Francisco State University. I decided I was wanting to get into the holistic health field and see, where that would take me. And in the meantime, I kept practicing Reiki and experimenting in different ways by treating our household plants or our fish, or one time I remember in my early 20s when I was with a friend whose motorcycle conked out, and we were kind of in a bad place because it was starting to get dark and we were along the coastline, and you need to have your lights on, and the light wasn't working, and he kept fussing with it, and so I just started giving Reiki to the motorcycle, and all of a sudden it worked. I was impressed with how many ways I could use Reiki, and I was very interested in eating well at that time, and so I would. Before I would eat, I'd Reiki my food and water at times. It was an experimental time for me, and it was a delightful time. My sister and brother still use Reiki to this day. They apply it primarily through self-care. I think I'm the only one that has decided to use Reiki in public practice, and so. The connection, though, between my family and myself has been different since doing Reiki. We all share that as a common reference point, and It doesn't, you know, it's not like it always comes up in conversation or anything of that nature. But if we're feeling sick or not, you know, we're feeling at odds with the world, or it's a great time for us to just, hey, did you do Reiki? Or
right.
You know?
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah, great. Great. So how did you take second degree then with Takata Sensei?
No, actually, I didn't take second degree Reiki until about 19 years later, believe it or not. And I really didn't believe that I needed anything else but first degree. It was kind of an interesting thing when I look back on that. But my second degree Reiki master is Elizabeth Valsala, and I took the initiation with her here in Albuquerque. And this was after I started a program called Reaching Out with Reiki, which is it was a way where I can where I could connect into the Reiki community here in Albuquerque, and also bringing two communities of people together. I had a class in it's called Self-Expression and Leadership Program, and it required me to work with a community of people, and I really wanted to connect into the Reiki community here. And after starting this program where we would offer Reiki treatments to cancer survivors, I think it was less than a year after starting this program, I decided to get an attunement for second degree. It seemed actually a bit strange to me at that point in time in my life to not have second degree, and yet I was, you know, I was only a first degree practitioner, and yet I was working with all these second and master level people, and I thought, well, I guess I better get a move on here with this process. But you know, with first degree, you can just do so much with it, and it was I was learning things about second degree kind of through what my hands were telling me. So I was trusting that, and I was I was just working with it, and I'm really glad that I had all of that time just to be with first degree, because it installed an understanding of Reiki without, you know, I think there's so many people that kind of just move on from one degree to another without really just savoring what you have.
Mm-hmm.
We started doing reaching out with Reiki and having community involvement with this program, you know, Reaching Out with Reiki Weekends, and it was very wonderful to see what the responses were of the community. People just really enjoyed doing it. I told everyone on the committee, you know, look, this is for you. This is for you to work with and open to. So as long as you're interested in doing this, I will help to facilitate to, you know, run these weekends. So.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So it's been a journey from California out to New Mexico, and bringing Reiki along with me. When I first moved out to New Mexico, I did offer Reiki treatments to people going to their homes and giving them treatments, and it was part of my way of supplementing my income, but also continuing to keep in touch with people, you know, out in the greater world, working with people, not just friends and family, but people I didn't know, and
seeing
the effect.
Well, it's such a wonderful story. I didn't. I obviously knew that, but I didn't remember it, and especially about the number of years that you had first degree and all the things that you did when you had first degree. And I can remember my grandmother saying always, you know, Reiki, first degree is all you need. And then the inevitable question would come up inside of me, well, then why second degree? But I now know a good answer for this question myself. But it's really inspiring, I think, to realize that you just carried on step by step with first degree, and it was good for you. It was really good. 19 years, that's quite a lot.
A long time.
Yeah, it is. Wonderful. Not to be faced with this process of more is better, or oh, there must be something that I need, or you know, all those different thoughts. So then, what about the next step?
Well,
was that obviously it wasn't 19 years between that, but
right.
But maybe I think since I was a part of this thought process, definitely a thoughtful process.
Okay. Yes. Definitely a thoughtful process that actually took a number of years in conversation both with you and as well as my father. I was initiated to Reiki mastership by my father, in 2001. And but there's a lot of interesting and difficult conversations that I had with my father prior to that time. At one point in time, you know, my father became a Reiki master with Takata Sensei. My understanding was that because he was a man of science, that Takata wanted someone from the scientific world to start working with Reiki. And my dad was very interested in doing that. And so he was initiated as a master, and then he started to do experiments with Reiki and trying to measure and the effects of Reiki. And I remember visiting him at San Francisco State one time, where he showed me this really interesting machine where a person would lay on a table and they would put you into this machine that's kind of a big coil, big copper coil, and so you would go right through the middle portion of the coil, and... Yeah, I don't know all the technology around this, but somehow they would measure, you know, a person's radiance, I guess.
Oh, great.
And there were other experiments that were performed. And I remember my dad talking about Kirlian photography and all that.
Kathy, excuse me.
Oh, no.
It's time for another station break. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Just Kirlian photography will... We'll stop there and start there in a few moments.
Okay.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere. On the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight, Astrolite massage table. Contact us for more information at www.astrolite.com. www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
I know you can hear this. Hey, guys, move closer. That's it. Girl, I am not leaving.
Hey, whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming! Took you long enough. Thanks for the help, guys.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing, broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I have with me today Kathy Araki, and she's just speaking about her path now to mastery, and it's been wonderful storytelling, with her weaving in the story also about her father, who was a master, who was initiated by Hawaii Takata. And I do remember when George and his fellow Reiki person, Paul Mitchell, were initiated on the same day at the same time. And that my grandmother was very excited about the experiments that George was wanting to do with Reiki. So first there was this copper coil that you went through. Sounds like the very first MRI kind of thing. And then and then this, and then the Curlian photography, which there is a wonderful interview by with Tova Midgard from Denmark, who uses still Curlian photography to work with Reiki and to show people how Reiki makes a difference in their energy bodies. So I'm interested to hear what you know about your father's use of Curlian photography.
Well, actually, I'm sorry to say I don't know very much about his use there. He just mentioned that that was another form of testing, you know, and seeing energy and then trying then to interpret from there.
Right.
And, his difficulty with all these tests were that there were just too many variables. And
yeah.
As a scientist, he, you know, had to have certain degree of controlled situations to be able to
right.
Get accurate measurements. And so in the as he worked with this, he found that it was very difficult and no way to for him at the time with what tools he had to really have any conclusive findings. And
mm-hmm.
So eventually he let this go, and but he continued on with his own research on healers and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
But there was a time and place, and I just I kind of understand the fringes of this. I can't necessarily say that I understand it all in its all in its complexities, but there was a time when my father felt I will say it this way, he felt disillusioned with Reiki, and he himself as a practitioner and as a master started to move away from it. And I know that after Takata Sensei passed away, and you were coming into your place with Reiki and the Reiki community, he was in definite support of you and wanting to see you come into that standing with Reiki here in the United States. And he was had his own disconnect with Reiki at that point in time, but and so through the years after it was an interesting process for me to start inquiry with him with regards to mastership. Because here was a Reiki master who wasn't really practicing Reiki, and he wasn't, he taught, I think, a handful of classes, Reiki classes, but he wasn't actively involved in doing this in his life. He had other things that he was doing with his, you know, San Francisco State and developing the Center for Integrative Sciences and all that, or Interdisciplinary Sciences. Anyway, so so starting a conversation with my dad around this was actually not an easy thing. He was a bit reluctant. He was very reluctant initially in conversation with me, and then over time, he started. You know, every so often, you know, the conversation would start again. And he said, "Well, I understand you want to do this and all this," and so he would try to educate me more about what his knowledge was on Reiki and where he was having difficulty. I found it actually quite interesting to have this conversation with him because, you know, my dad's a scientist, he's an academic, and so his views on things come from that place of really, you know, everything has its order and its place. And my mind is not of that mindset. And so, and I've had, you know, at that point, I have had a number of years of experiencing Reiki and the effects, and I just knew that it worked. And so as he was presenting all this information to me, in essence trying to demystify Reiki to me, I would just, you know, take it in and say, okay, but I still know it works, Dad, you know? And I still want you to teach me what you understand and know. And so after a number of years of having conversations and periodic emails, he finally said, you know, if you want to do this, I'm willing to do this. And I said, great. I'm interested in knowing what you understand, and with everything around it. And so he developed a curriculum for me. yeah, this is my dad, the teacher. He developed the curriculum. He came out to New Mexico, and we just we had conversations with each other throughout the whole weekend, and it was a pretty intense time. And he incorporated
Beautiful.
Science, and he incorporated Buddhism, and and other things. So it was a good initiation for me. And I know that, and I knew at that time that that wasn't the ending for me with regards to my education in Reiki. And knowing that I wanted to continue to work with you, Phyllis, in knowing more and understanding more, and because there were going to be parts of Reiki mastership that my father would not be able to teach me because of his because he hadn't continued to further educate himself.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these other segments for me that will be coming into play for my own education in
mm-hmm.
the future. Yeah.
Beautiful story.
Yeah. But here's another piece of the story that, you know, even though after that, my relationship with my dad and Reiki shifted, and he just became softer about it all, and that was a great healing for me. Shift occur, and you know, as he started to have his own health problems, and then in battling cancer, he started to ask me to give him Reiki.
Uh-huh.
And so when I would go to visit him, I would treat him, and it was very sweet to have him kind of make a very big turnaround in his own life. So that's a bit about me. I also want to mention my mom, because my mom is a true Reiki master. Even though she's been attuned to Reiki first and second degree by Hawaii Takata, she never got her mastership from Hawaii Takata, but has I think my mom is interested in that as she begins to shift from her career within the Japanese American National Museum and shifts into other areas into her life. I'm certain that that's something that will be a part of her life. She's out of all the practice of Reiki in my family, I've exchanged more treatments with her than anyone else. She's quite a sensitive and intuitive person, and she's just internally wired for Reiki, I think.
Well, that's great news, really. I'd love to talk to you more about that after this interview. Great. Thanks for doing that, though, bringing her in, because she's been kind of in the background. We'll take a little break now, Kathy, and come on to the last segment in a few minutes. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The law of attraction is very much in today's public awareness. In reality, it is not a new concept. Join Liana Carbone for Living Wisdom, the Art of Shamanism and Spirituality. Discover the roots of the law of attraction and go beyond its theories to manifest a life of balance and prosperity. Living Wisdom can be heard each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network. Come join us to dream, learn, and heal.
Reiki practitioners everywhere prefer Astrolite massage tables because of optimum portability, leg clearance, easy setup, comfort, and quality. For 15 years, Rampa Enterprises, previously Magic Flute, has been shipping tables around the world to the global Reiki community.
Why wait any longer to get yours? Contact us now through our website at www.portablemassagetables.com and we'll help you select just the right table to fit your needs. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We're here with Kathy Araki. And she's done a magnificent and masterful job of weaving her story, her father's story, and now the thread of her mother, which was a subtle thread there for a while, and now she's coming into her own. I just wanted to go back, Kathy, and mention this quality of your father, the empirical man, we could call him, but also really in... In some way, I knew that your father came into what we might call disillusionment. Mm-hmm. But one of the, and that didn't worry me, mm-hmm. because I had my own moments of disillusionment. Mm-hmm. But what was kind of sad for me, and also what I really missed were the conversations about his disillusionment. Mm-hmm. You know, I would have loved to have heard, you know, what brought him to that point, you know, what his thoughts were, where he was going with it, because I think underneath all of it, and I will say this with great candor, that if you don't question, you know, what's happening with Reiki, if you just, I feel like if you just are blindly, you know, have faith in it, then there's something that's not engaged. You know, this is my judgment. And what I really loved about your dad, and was sorry not to have these conversations, was that he was very engaged in that part of it, and kind of was our balance beam. Because the rest of us, especially in the early 1980s, were really fascinated with what Reiki could do and all the wonderful things that were happening with our students and so on. And he was kind of our balance, you know, at the other end of searching for the answer and finding a way to explain things. And when that didn't happen, I just would have loved to have had that connection with him in that moment. Mm-hmm. I think it would have really helped me. Yeah. In my own search for the same, you know, with the same questions, really.
Right.
Yeah. So you were very lucky, I think, to for him to be able to share that with you and to pass it on. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's been so prevalent in the stories of what I call children of Reiki, you're not, I don't know if this, you can really fit yourself into this, but, you know, people who were children and grew up with parents who became Reiki masters or who were Reiki masters when they were born, and just seeing this quality of legacy that's passed on from parent to child, mm-hmm. and how Reiki becomes a true part of that. And sometimes it's through the training and instruction of mastery. Sometimes it's through the presence of being a parent. And it doesn't seem to matter in which line it is, just so that it's done. And I think your story is really a beautiful one.
You know, my understanding of my father's disillusionment is actually just a small understanding, I think. I only have been able, even in the conversations and the emails that he and I had together, been able to really piece some of it together. And I know that initially my dad and my mom, they were very excited about Reiki, and they would have gatherings at our house, and you know, Paul Mitchell was there and Susan Mitchell was there, and a lot of people who were being attuned at San Francisco State were there. And I remember they treated, my dad relayed one of these experiences where they were treating, they had a couple of people who had cancer, and they treated these folks, and but eventually they did pass away. And I think part of the difficulty and the beauty of all of this is that my dad, being the academic and being very much of a mindful person, Reiki gave him an opportunity to open him to compassion and being compassionate to other people. And I think the death of these friends really had an impact on him. And I think there was in part that, and in part perhaps the personal connections to Reiki and to my mom, and then eventually divorcing my mom. And, you know, there were, so in other words, there were personal things that had an influence on, on his need to disconnect with Reiki. And then coming from his scientific background and not being able to test this himself, not being able to, you know, and not having positive stories or outcomes for himself to rely on to work with, eventually brought him to a place where he could see the value that yes, with a sympathetic touch toward anyone, you can have a good result. He started to not believe in the power of Reiki, I think, because he didn't have his own stories to say, well, you know, it really works. You know, even despite not having this empirical background, you know, for himself, you know. And so I think that it was a combination of things. And some of them I would be happy to share with you, and also in private. but you know, some of it is just some things are I prefer not to speak.
Yeah, no, that's totally, there's a limit.
But so there, I think there were a number of factors, and then mixed in with him moving on in his life. He needed to let it go. I'm glad, though, that in the end he did find some peace with it and was willing to receive Reiki and find value that in that, get comfort in that.
Yes, me too, actually. I'm really glad that it felt like he found peace, and I was really happy that you got married so I could see him toward the end of his life and just make a little connection. That was wonderful. So, Kathy, wow, what a wonderful story over the last, I guess, 26 years? No, 30 years.
30 years.
30 years. Wow.
I know.
Yeah. And so I'm just wondering, do you have in yourself a kind of next step? I know that you work now as a body therapist. That's what I would call you.
Mm-hmm.
And you do some Reiki. And are you still... furthering this outreach program?
You know, the Reaching Out with Reiki program, it's right now is on hold for a bit. And the reason being is I'm a person that I move through life, and when the timing is correct, I act.
Mm-hmm.
And there is change in the air with regards to this program, and I don't know what that's going to look like yet.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm not acting on it, and that feels right to me. So
uh-huh.
That is, it's going to make a transformation of some sort, but I just don't know what that transformation
uh-huh.
is yet.
Right.
My interest right now with regards to Reiki, I have a practice, a very strong practice in neuromuscular massage work, and I incorporate the Reiki and cranial sacral work and other types of body mechanics and different things within that practice. And I'm interested in continuing to educate myself in with Reiki, and hopefully with your help, and as well as both my mom and I are interested eventually of going to Japan to look at Reiki from Japan and perhaps taking some courses there as well. Has excited us, and the fortunate thing with that is my mom is fluent in Japanese, so it's helpful to have her along in those situations, and we've connected with, my memory with names, Mr. Yamaguchi, who his mother was actually attuned to Reiki at the same time as Hawaii Otakata.
Mm-hmm.
And we've made contact. She's passed away. We saw her about 5 years ago, and this was, I think, maybe 4 to 6 months before she passed away that we were able to visit with her and Mrs.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And eventually we would like to make contact with them again. And, again, continuing the education.
Well, Kathy, that's the end of the show.
That was quick.
And what you're saying right now is a great conclusion to your story, which is pay attention to your own timing, further your understanding of Reiki in relationship to your own experience, and be open to what comes. Great message. This is Phyllis Tsurumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the 7th Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.